All right. Good morning, everybody. Great to see you. And welcome. This is our first week in a brand new series that we are calling This Is Forever. And I'm so glad to have my beautiful wife up here with me and teaching with me and through this. And so it's going to be a great series. And this is my favorite time to preach. Is when I get to preach with her. So it's one of our favorite times. So, but before we get into our message today, a couple things. First of all, it is Super Bowl Sunday. And y'all ready for the game tonight? Yeah? How many just don't care? Whatever? Yeah? Well, that's cool. How many? Any Patriot fans in the house? Patriot fans? A few of you? Okay. I'm going to pray. Father, we just pray for them right now in Jesus' name. Any Eagle fans in the house, even if you're an Eagles fan today? So on the count of three, let me hear you think's going to win today. One, two, three.
Eagles.
Ooh, Eagles. I hear a lot of that. Give me the underdog. I like an underdog story. I think old Patriots have had their time. Uncle Tom's had his time, all right, at quarterback and winning. And so, nonetheless, it's time for a new era. Anyways, but it'll be a good game tonight. Looking forward to it. And I love Super Bowl Sunday, so it's a fun time. Well, we've also got something funny. Nora Cleveland, give her a shout-out because she tagged me in on this. Yeah, the First United Methodist. Thank God for the Methodists. Here's this Bible quiz. How many verses in the Bible are about Eagles and Patriots? Eagles 33, Patriots 0. So we know who God's team is, I think. Is that what that means? Oh, I just thought I'd have some fun. I love you guys so much. And so all the Patriot fans, I love you too. All right. But it'll be good. So, hey, before we get into the message, we've got just an announcement we want to share with you guys today that really has been, man, just a lot happening. And we, since fall of last year, we have been in a place where we formed a team together here at our church, and then we've worked with some others as well. We have been looking hard for another building. And how many know that Pastor Kyle's talked a lot about that and just trying to keep you up to date and what's happening? And so we are have been in that process. And so I'm happy to first say this, that we have found the building that we want. Yes. Very exciting. And so, and God has been so cool in this, honey. I mean, just absolutely just supernatural in all of this. And let me just tell you this. For those that don't know, we don't own this facility. We sublease it with the school that's here. So our offices are separate. They're down the road here on Coldwater. So there's some things we just can't do yet until we have our own facility. And so, and we've got big dreams in this church, don't we, Elevate City? Amen. We got big vision. And so, but as we've just been pursuing for the last several months, we've looked at a lot of locations. We've had and been having a lot of meetings, as you can imagine. And so we're in a place, you know, we need more room, more space, as ushers are putting out more chairs as I'm talking. So there we go. And, but we're in a place that we just need it. And I think the incredible thing about this is we've just not been in a hurry. But we've just wanted to walk in the pace of that God has us in and being faithful to that. And so what God has done is nothing short of a miracle already, because the facility that we are now pursuing and the facility that we will begin negotiations within the next few weeks on up until probably March time is a facility that has not even been on the market. And we've looked at other facilities on the market, but this one, how many know when God opens a door, it's a door that no man can shut? And it's been so supernatural, and the owner of this facility had no idea that he would be probably working to sell his building to us, but how many know that's why God writes the playbook, amen? And so we're going to keep letting God write the playbook, and so what's happening is now we're in a place, because it hasn't been on the market, they didn't have a price, so they're working on that and with their team, and then they'll be getting that back to us soon. And so where we're at is we're believing for the right asking price, and then we're believing in the midst of negotiations that egos don't get in the way, but the kingdom of God prevails and favor continues to rest upon us and our ministry. We're not asking, you know, for pennies. We know it's got to work for them. We know it's got to work for us. And so when we can come to some kind of an agreement, I'll come back to you and then I'll let you know where it's at. All right. And I know that's kind of the tough part about today. Like, I know. So, but just trust me, the reason why I can't divulge where it's at in the location quite yet is because it was never on the market. So they need to make sure all their, you know, situations are handled and everything. And so I get it. It's cool. But I will tell you, it's close. No, I don't know if that makes you happy, but I mean, it's close. And so, it's got incredible potential. It's got incredible potential for lobby space. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say amen. I mean, it's tough to filter hundreds of you through this one hallway, and so, but it's a space that we are envisioning that would have a great welcome center for our guests, a cafe, just ample room for your family, and so we're excited about the possibility. It's got incredible kids ministry space, which, so Pastor Heidi's been excited about that, and it's just got incredible room, and the auditorium itself is about four to five times as big as this, so it's got room to grow. And how many know, as a growing, thriving church, we've just got big vision to continue to go and reach more people for the glory of God, then we need room, everybody. Amen. So I just love that we're a part of something much bigger than ourselves, that vision is growing, amen, and that we're enlarging. Scripture says in Isaiah, enlarging your tents and don't hold back. And so that's exactly what we're doing, everybody. We're going to not hold back. We're going to trust God with this. So here's what I just need you to do, and I want you to commit with me. We're going to pray together in just a moment over this. But how many of you, come on, just honestly, I want you to do this and join with Bethany and I in this, because this is your church, all right? We don't have to do this. I just want you to know. And if it doesn't happen, I'm not losing sleep. We keep going until God does something else. But there's so much that's happening and so much that God has been doing that it feels like it's working. And it feels like it's God. And so we're just walking through this door. We're getting a lot of outside counsel as well. I just want to honor some of the guys that are helping me too, just real quick. Pastor Rich and Mike Nichols, come on, stand up. Bob Fisher, if Bob's still here, and Brian Andrews. And so these guys, Pastor Rich and Mike Nichols are both are former senior pastors themselves. They've kind of been through this process, so they've been great wisdom to me. Is Bob in here still? Is he in here? Okay, that's okay. Bob Fisher is an incredible realtor, and he's been helping us through this process as well, and connections, relationships. Brian Andrews, architect firm, these guys will tell you, we've had some other great relationships, haven't we, guys? Connections. So just give them a hand, because they've been working with me on this. Yeah, love you guys very, very much. Appreciate it. Couldn't do this without them. And then just oversight and everything. So, but what I need you to do is just pray. And from this day forward, let's pray. Amen. And so in your personal time, pray over this. Pray over that God moves the heart of man, and that this price comes in at the right price that we need it, because we got a growing family, everybody, and we need room. And so I'm excited at the opportunity, and just believing by faith, man, that God is going to work this out for our good. Amen, church? All right, let's stand our feet. I want us just to join together in prayer. And I'm going to just leave this, and I just want you to come into agreement with me as we pray over these next steps for our church. And isn't vision exciting, though? I mean, isn't this exciting to know that, man, we're out of room, out of space, and I just tell you, man, we just are thankful, and God gets all the glory, amen? He gets all the credit. So let's pray. Father, we just love you. We thank you, God, so very much for all that you are doing, have been doing, and are going to continue to do through this work, this church, this ministry. God, this is yours. Elevate City isn't ours. It belongs to you. We are your kids. And so, God, we thank you for our growing family and what you're doing. And we thank you for incredible provision, incredible favor, God, right here in the city of Fort Wayne. We thank you that so much, God, that you have already went before us. God, that you are making a way, that, Father, something that wasn't even in our scope, God, all of a sudden you just brought to pass. And so, God, we just lean in to our trust and our relationship with you. We pray for all of those that are going to be involved. We pray for the right asking price, God. We even just declare negotiations over the owner's heart and his team. God, that you would move in such a way that it won't be about the bottom dollar, but, God, it will be about kingdom work. And so, God, I just pray in Jesus' name the supernatural favor of God to rest on conversations that are coming forth in negotiations. God, again, let not pride, let not ego get in the way, but God, help us, Lord. It's got to work for them. It's got to work for us, Lord. We're not offering pennies, Lord. We know that, but God, we just thank you for a right asking price for us as a young, growing church, and God, that you will just continue to provide for us. We love you, and again, God, this church, our lives, our kids, God, we belong to you, and we thank you for it, and we thank you for your faithfulness in Jesus' name. Come on, and everybody said a good amen. 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 Come on, give us somebody a high five. Say vision, vision, vision. Have a seat. Vision. Amen. All right. Hey, just before we get into the message, go ahead and grab your message notes if you already haven't. And I'm coming a little close to you, baby. All right. And amen. All right. And I want to tell you something. This is a 3-week series. And so on the third week, all right, we are going to have a panel of some incredible marriages that Bethy and I love and respect dearly that are going to be up here. And we're going to be doing a service that Sunday of just really full Q&A of just questions that you have asked. And so here's how you can play a part in this. On the app, if you haven't got our app yet on your smartphone, download our app, and there's a spot right there. I don't have my phone on me, but there's a on the front of that. You can't miss it, and it's going to give you an opportunity to click on that to ask questions and submit it. And you can submit it anonymously. You don't have to put a name to it. And so what we're going to do over on that particular Sunday is take those questions, and these couples, these amazing couples that, man, we just love, are going to really just help us. And there's couples that are ranging and experiences and years married, and so it'll be an incredible weekend. And so I just want to encourage you, help me, because I'll kind of be asking those questions. So we want to hear from you. We want to know what you're wondering and thinking about. And so even maybe through this message, you start thinking about questions. I just want to encourage you, write those down or just send them as soon as you think. You can send as many as you want. All right, we're going to do our best to answer as many as we can on that Sunday with the time that we're allowed, okay? All right, cool, everybody? So I want to just share this with you, too, that Bethany and I will be a little bit of our story, that we're going on 11 years of marriage in April. And I'll tell you, and she'll echo this here in a minute, I'm sure, that we don't have the perfect marriage, and we definitely don't have the perfect kids. And we are in a journey of just learning and growing together and growing with God. And I just will say, and as well as counseling many other couples through the years, we're just going to do our best through this series to just try to help all of us, because I think all of us can be helped in this journey. So whether you're married, whether you're single, want to be married, or you just want to stay single, I'm just telling you, this is going to be a great series for you. And I really believe God has something specific that he wants to say to all of us, and it's going to be powerful. And so maybe you want to just kind of tell them how it all began, you know?
So we actually met in a small group back at our church in Ohio.
Small groups do work.
Yes. Yes. Good small groups. Not like crazy small groups, but you know, ours are good. So go to the small group. But no, we actually met in the small group. My sister was actually part of that church. And when I gave my heart to the Lord, she, of course, encouraged me to get in a small group. So that's what I did. So we met in that small group, and we were friends for about a year. He likes to say that I wanted him, but really it was he wanted me. So, no, but we were friends for about a year, and he really gave me the time that I needed. I was quite a mess. I had come out of a lot of things that just part of my testimony. I have a pretty rough past in a certain area of my life. So, anyway, so... You want to go from here? Sorry.
No, you're doing great. You're doing a great job.
Okay. So, all right. So we met in that small group, friends for about a year. And then after about a year, you know, we were actually talking on the phone because that was back when we didn't like text. You know, I don't think we had text at that time, 11 years ago. But we actually had to talk on the phone. So we ended up having a conversation on the phone. And, you know, there was kind of like he's kind of cute. Well, you know, I don't know. So we,
playing
anyway.
Hard to get, you know.
He took me out under the guise of going to dinner and actually gave me what I referred to lovingly as the interrogation because he asked me some very pointed questions, very good questions, but just got to the root of things and was like, hey, I don't want you to waste my time and I don't want to waste yours. So where do you see yourself in 5 years? How's your relationship with the Lord? You know, what would you say that you want to do with your life? And just asked me a lot of very pointed questions. And as awkward and like, oh my gosh, this is kind of weird. At first, I look back at it now, and one, it's kind of funny, but two, I appreciate that because that just showed the maturity in him that he wasn't just looking to just have a girlfriend. He actually wanted to see, is this somebody that I could actually spend my life with?
And let me just preface one thing just to say I wasn't always such a rough guy, the questions was because I came out of a relationship. And maybe some can relate with this, that, man, I nearly married the wrong girl. Oof, I know. And it was just heading towards a direction that wasn't healthy, and it was starting to get physical. And I thought, this is what this is going to be about. It's not going to work. because I need more than that. You know what I mean? We need to make sure on a lot of levels that we're compatible, and it just seemed to be at that. So I ended that relationship, and I just told the Lord and with some of my mentors in my life and my pastor that I just, you know, whoever and whatever God wanted to do next, I was just going to be open to God more, but be totally open more to the people that love me and that love me and want the best for me. And so you need people that are not going to be impressed by you, but people to be honest with you. Because if all you have is a bunch of bobbleheads in your life, man, life's going to be tough for you. You know what I'm saying? You know what a bobblehead is? If all it does is yes. You know what I'm saying? So, but nonetheless, I mean, I was just in a place where I just knew going into whatever next relationship, I didn't want to waste any time because I'd wasted a couple years of my life, and I was really to get over that. It was tough to get over. And so, yeah, we had that night and asked very pointed questions. I don't want to waste your time. Don't waste my time. And that's how we started. And then we really submitted to that to some of our family and our leaders that were in our life, and we took a whole month to pray. Because I just really felt like, and in my heart, I thought, oh, yeah, this is the girl. Like, yeah, yeah, I mean, like, this, I'm marrying her. You know what I'm saying? Like, thank you, Jesus. So, but nonetheless, we still prayed through it and everything, and everybody felt good. And yeah, we dated for a year and then got married. And I just think there's a lot to be said about, I just think too many people rush into relationships and get married anymore. And I've tried to counsel people through the years, take your time. My God in heaven, take your time. There's no hurry. And I will just say this too, I'm glad we did. And one of the reasons why I'm glad that we did is because we really got to see each other in every season of life. Because each of us got some ugly. And if you don't think you got some ugly, that's probably your problem, all right? And so each of us got some issues is what I'm saying. We all got things that we're trying to work through. And so I think better to figure that out before we get married and work through some of that than to try to get into the place of marriage. And, oh, didn't know you struggled with that, you know. And so nonetheless, we, man, God moved. And 11 years later, bam, chicka, wow, wow. Here we go, all right? So... 3 kids, amazing kids. I really love my wife. So I want to show you some pictures. We'll throwback Sunday. Come on. I love that. Yeah, that's a good one. Now, I got to tell you, man, that's the getaway car right there. So I really, hang on, go back. I wasn't done yet. Just saying. I didn't want to really go to the reception. And as a virgin, I was really glad the rapture didn't happen either. And I tried to talk her into just, hey, man, they can all go to the reception, man. We married now. Let's go. You know, she wanted to go to the reception, and we did. So anyways, but by the way, this will be a little spicy sometimes. So if you have kids 12 and under, we have a great kids ministry, mom and dad. And I'm not just saying that. I'm just trying to give you that disclaimer before we start. It's this week, next week, the week after. Kids ministry is awesome. All right. Next one. All right. That's our favorite picture. That's our first dance. Isn't that awesome? And so it's our first dance. And we actually have that picture in our home. That's one that we really, really love. And then, got done. Or it was right before the cake or after. I think before we looked clean. So, all right. And then, yeah, this is right after we had Ashton. Yeah, my baby girl turned 9 today, actually. And so, yeah, and so that was a precious time when it was the 3 of us. But now we got 2 wild boys, man, we thank God for too. And so we got a few ground rules that we're going to lay down, and then we're going to get into this.
So number one, listen for yourself through this. No elbowing the person next to you or looking at them and saying, you need to hear this part. He's talking to you or she's talking to you. Just listen for yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you about any areas where maybe there's some change that needs to be had. Maybe there's some just repentance that needs to be had between you and the Lord or you and your spouse, or maybe an unhealthy relationship. But so just listen for yourself, and also just remember that everything that we're saying today, this isn't Kyle and I's standard. This is God's standard.
Yeah.
So what we are sharing with you is what God says marriage is, what God wants relationships to be. So just remember, none of us are perfect. We know you're not going to be perfect. Neither are we. But just listen for yourself and allow the Lord to speak to you. And then remember that God can make all things new. He can change any situation, yeah. Any marriage that is gone down the wrong path or maybe relationships that are unhealthy. He can change any of those in an instant and propel it in the right direction if we just allow him to work in us and speak to us. And then lastly, like he said, it is a little spicy at times, so get those kids in children's ministry.
Yeah, amen. And again, just echoing, you know, the cool thing about God is he specializes in making all things new. And I don't want anybody to ever feel like no matter what you've been through, and even if you have been divorced, we get things happen, all right? And so I just want you to know, man, how much we love you, how much God loves you. And if, man, if it's your heart you want to be married again, or if you just want to stay single, we want to help you with that too in this journey. So no matter where you're at, we just want you to know we're all on this journey together, amen, and that God has a plan for all of us. And I think what happens after we get married sometimes that people have this mindset, and we've talked to some that think the thoughts of, man, nobody's loved like us, you know, and it's going to go well. But after that honeymoon, you get back and you figure out, man, I thought she picked up her clothes, you know, and what's her underwear doing on the floor? And you know, man, I noticed, she doesn't like to cook. I thought she did when we dated, but now she doesn't want to cook. You know, like, what's the deal? You know, and so we start finding out these truths. One of the funny ones that we had is I found out, when we brush our teeth, and there's like a, the tube of toothpaste. Like, it gets at the end, like, it's time to get another one. Bethany, man, you use that whole bad boy, don't you, girl? I mean, like, Lord have mercy. Like, I'm like, baby, like, that's why we got another one. No, we got to finish it up. Okay. You finish yours up, I'm having my own tube then. And that's how we've settled that one. How many know some battles ain't worth fighting, everybody? I mean, it just ain't worth it. So she's got her tube, I got my tube. You know what I'm saying? And how many know there's a right way to put the toilet paper on the roll? Talk to me, somebody. Come on now. Man, it's over, not under. And if you like it under, that's our first prayer point for you this morning. All right? Man. I will be in restaurants, and I will flip it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I've had some of you guys, I don't know who you are, that's had small groups in our offices do that to me on purpose. Oh, man, y'all are ornery, man. So, anyways, I thought, Lord have, jeez, man. Anyways, that's a place for peace, isn't it, everybody? Not get frustrated. Lord. Anyways, we better move on. But here's what I know. Life hits us, and after we get back and we start journeying this life out, things hit, you know, finances and careers. Man, we're working now. I remember, just that adjustment of us getting back and going to work, and then, you know, just the different pressures that come, and school, education, career, kids, and you finally realize, man, I'm living with a human that has issues, and I married somebody who's got sin in their life. And they're not perfect. They've got things because now you're living with them. And so many of us, I think, find out that it's harder than maybe that we thought. And I think we live in a culture where it's easy to just give up. It's easy to quit. But I just want you to know that's why I just felt this. And I really feel like when I was really thinking about what to title this series, honestly, it had been in my heart for months. Because we want to build a lasting marriage in our life, but we want to see marriages within our church last forever. Yeah, amen. Amen, everybody. Amen. And I shared with you last week that my grandparents are getting ready to celebrate 63 years of marriage. May that be our story. Amen, everybody. I'm so thankful for that, and I think it's incredible. And so Mark chapter 10, verse 9, would you read this with me? It says, therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Come on, with some strength, let's read it again. Therefore, what God has joined
together, let no one separate.
Yeah, let no one separate, that this is forever. My relationship with God, I'm giving him my heart, I'm giving him my life, but I've also given Bethany my heart. This is forever. We're not looking for exit strategies. We're going to build through the tough times, through the good. We're going to continue, and we're going to share some of our story and some things that we've been through. And Jesus said this in John 6. He said, Jesus declared, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And so you have to see Jesus as your everything. I just truly believe that your marriage is only as strong as your relationship with God is. I just believe it's fact. I think if your relationship with God is lacking, your marriage will be lacking. And I would even say it this way, that if your relationship with God is lacking, your marriage will lack and your friendships will lack. Yeah. There will always be a disconnect there. And so, but I want to ask you this question, and it's this: who meets your deepest needs? And I want you to think about that. Don't want to rush through this. Who meets your deepest needs? In other words, on whom do you rely on or most go to fulfill the needs in your life? Who meets your deepest needs? And for some, it's maybe yourself. For some, it's just, man, I'd always try to muster up the answer, figure it out on my own. For some, it's, man, I just try to find everything of my deepest needs in my spouse. For some, it's in your kids. Instead of it being in the proper place, it's in our kids. Maybe it's in our job, our career. Maybe it's in church. Maybe it's in pastors. Maybe it's money, possessions. It could be even a combination, I think, of these. And it's interesting, the average, I was reading just through some statistics a lot this week, and I think I skipped a few statistics, actually, that I want to give you real quick, and that is this. So I'm going to go back to, for our team just for a minute to some of these stats I want to give you. And that is this, that the average marriage in America right now lasts only 3 years. So if you made it over 3 years, I mean, congratulations, because you have an above average marriage according to national statistics. And I think that's sad. And I think we as the church have got to do an even better job, not just our church, I'm talking about the local church of the world, and helping marriages and building marriages and building their families and their kids. And how do we parent? How do we do that and stay married and stay happy? And we'll discuss even some of those things even next week. Here's a sad stat for our city. The Fort Wayne is third in the nation in divorce. Yeah. Leading cause of divorce in America is number one, communication, number two, finances. And if you study it out, it's interesting, as I was studying this out, finances, the cause of that is because of a lack of communication. And then look at this stat, I thought this was interesting. The number of people getting married is at its lowest since almost 100 years, since 1920. Less and less people are getting married. And I read into that, and what was interesting about what some of what they're seeing, and I don't have time to go into all of it, is because of what marriage is and the example of it to many of those who are not married, that they see the struggles and they see the divorce rates and they're just like, man, I'm good. And so I just think, man, we as the body of Christ, we need to exemplify marriage well. And we need to be great representatives for God and, come on, everybody, for people. Amen? And I think it ought to start right here in the local church. Can you say a good amen? So I just think it's important. And I think that as we understand this, that and who's meeting our deepest needs, I want to go back to that the average human needs four things. They need acceptance, because all of us have a need to be accepted. We want to be accepted. The next is identity, that every single one of us just wants to know, man, that our life is significant in some way. The third thing is security. We want to know that we're safe. And then the fourth thing is purpose. And that is, man, there's something within all of us throughout our life that we want to know, man, that our life is making a difference somehow. And so, and the right answer of what I asked you, what is our deepest, who fulfills our deepest needs, should be God more than anyone or anything else. Because most people can't give that answer that it would be God. And I think that's the struggle. And I just want to remind you today that there's no human on the face of this earth that can ever meet your deepest needs. Only God can meet your deepest needs. Amen? And so if our needs are projected on others instead of God, I'm telling you this, it's going to leave you in a place of feeling very disappointed. It's going to leave you in a place that's going to be hard for you to love other people. It's going to leave you in a place where you're easily hurt and you're easily offended. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, to have a right view, right scope on God.
So Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, there is not a single person in all the earth who is always good and never sins. And that's why we can't look to people here on this earth to be the answer, to be the one that we're going to, looking to meet our desires and our needs. That actually has to come only from the Lord, because he's the only one that's never going to disappoint us. He's the only one that's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us, is what he's told us. So he's the only one that we can rely on fully and know that he will meet those needs. And then Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. So the thing is, when we look to people here in this earth, we're going to get terrible answers on how to handle life. We're not going to be led in the right direction. We have to go to the Word of God, and go to his standard, what God's standard is for marriage, in order to have a healthy marriage. So the secret to a solid marriage is actually keeping Jesus first in all things. Every area of our life, he has to be first. If he's not, then we don't have anybody that is going to hold us accountable to his word. So we have to keep Christ at the center of our marriage. We have to keep the Word of God as the standard for our marriage, that we hold value in what God says that our marriage should be, how our marriage should be lived out and worked out, has to be done according to God's way, because it's only through God that a marriage yeah. that's centered in Christ that's actually going to have, that only way that we will actually have a healthy marriage is if our marriage is centered on Christ only.
Yeah, so we want to give you a couple things. We wanted to keep it simple today and just kind of talk to you from our hearts, but four principles that I think that are important, that are foundational principles that I think you and I must have if we're going to have a successful marriage, if we're going to have great communication, or if we're in a place that, man, we just need to grow in some things and we know it. We want to try to help us with this. And I really, our theme verse is out of Genesis 2 and back with Adam and Eve, verse 24. It says, "For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave," we'll tell you what this all means in a moment, "to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Everybody say one flesh.
One flesh.
"And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Number one, jot this down, is the principle of priority. And I think this is so important for your relationship with God and your relationship, man, with your spouse, your relationship. Just understanding the principle, as we've talked so much about last week, of people. And that your spouse has got to be priority. Again, out of verse 24, it says, "For this cause, a man shall leave his father and his mother." And so that word "leave" in the Hebrew is the word azab. Everybody say azab. It's kind of a cool word to say, which literally just means to loosen or to relinquish. And so, and here's what that means, that a man has to relinquish his commitment from his parents. So I had to do that from my mom and dad, and from my mom and dad. And then it just really is a shift in priority. And now my relationship with Bethany becomes the priority. I still love my mom and dad, respect them, but that obviously shifts in priority. And I think what happens is sometimes our marriages, when we think about priority, we can lose sight of that after we get married. I mean, we think about how much a priority it was when you were dating. Think about the phone calls and, you know, like, yeah, back in the day, like it wasn't that long ago, but it feels like texting wasn't a thing. Like, can you imagine? I know. And so, but where we spent hours on the phone just talking, and I think that's where culture and just technology, man, it's kind of messed with us. And I think one of the things that we enjoyed during the 21 days of prayer and fasting for us is just shutting it down. TV off. How's your day? How are things going? You know, and actually having conversations that are so important, not just even with each other, but even with our kids. And so, and I think that's powerful. And I want to just say this, if you want to be married, if you're single, or if you're dating, not dating, another thing that I think is going to be important for you is when that day happens, premarital counseling has got to be a priority. And if you want a marriage that starts off well, it's having a strong foundation. And like, I'll just tell you, to be honest, you can hear it from my mouth, that we won't marry anybody unless you go through premarital counseling, just because we believe in the importance of it. And we know, and we want to set marriages up for success, not failure. Somebody say amen. And there's too many, and oftentimes, I think that the couples that we've counseled with the most through the years, and you know, we pastored college-age students, too, and they're 20-somethings in Columbus, and so we saw a lot of this, and seen it throughout our time in ministry, is when you don't have that in place, man, it's tough. And oftentimes, when we find out, man, did you guys have premarital counseling? Did you walk through that? A lot of them say, no, we didn't have it, or it was a week, you know, and that's not enough time. And, like, we want to get you at the point in your premarital counseling where you're kind of, like, at it with each other. Like you disagree. Like, we want you to disagree, because then we're going to ask you, can you live with that? Can you live with that? I mean, where calls are up. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, you got that going. You know what I'm saying? But can you live with that? You understand what I'm saying? And it kind of brings up some of those things. And so that's what premarital counseling. We don't want to leave any rock unturned. All right? And so I think it's so important. And honestly, real quick, is we had a couple. Well, we've had a few, but we had one couple that they had already sent out the invites. I already spent thousands of dollars. And we just said, you ain't ready for marriage yet. We love you. We are for you. And if you want this marriage strong, man, we're going to have to shut it down right now. And just the bride, oh my gosh, you know, tears coming down. And you know, and the thought of, we don't know if we want you marrying us. I said, that's fine. I said, but I'm just telling you, I said, it's going to be worth your wait. And again, invites were already out. And so they had to send a thing out. They ended up, they were mad at us for about a week and a half. Didn't hear nothing. By the end of 2 weeks, they got a call back. We want you to marry us. We know we got some issues and we need help, you know. And forget about the money we spent. It's all going to be worth it in the end. I said, it is, because you know what? You're placed in this marriage in God's hands and not in yours. And when you do that, the blessing of God is going to come on this thing in a way that you'll never sense. Yeah, amen, everybody? And so you want God's blessing because God will do so much more than you and I could ever do on our own. Amen.
So the whole purpose, though, of premarital counseling is not that you're going to enter marriage perfect. It's just that you're going to uncover anything, any rock that has not been unturned is going to be unturned. That our goal and the goal of everybody that does premarital counseling here at Elevate is that we're just going to prepare you as best as we can for marriage. But, you know, the thing is that the enemy is always going to fight us in our relationships. He wants there to be distance. He wants us to have assumptions. So we want to eliminate as much of that as possible. If you're already married, you still can have some good, healthy changes in that. You want to make sure that you don't allow the enemy to come in any place and have a foothold anywhere in that. Go
ahead. You're doing great. Oh,
sorry.
Let me go.
Yeah.
I was just going to say this. And that is that, and this is something when I was praying this week, I really felt that just hit my spirit, just this statement. When distance is created in your relationship with your spouse, assumptions are assumed. And so you've got to be careful of assumptions in your relationship and in your marriage. Are you with me? And if there's anything Satan will attack, it will be intimacy. Intimacy with God and intimacy with each other. A lot of just within our time that we've worked with couples with is that's a big issue is the lack of sex that's going on. And God has there's reason why God created sex. It's beautiful. I hate the way the world has tainted it and perversed it. They've perversed something that God has called holy and something that God has called blessed and beautiful. And we're going to get back to that next week. Next week it'll be a little more spicy, but I'm just telling you, as we need to reclaim this in the church today, and even with our kids, teaching them the right values. I'm telling you, man, our society has just got this animalistic view of sex, and it's out of line, and it's out of order. And it's up to us as parents, pastors, leaders, to help teach this in a godly way. Are you with me, church? Parents, amen. And that they aren't just learning about this in the locker room, but they're learning about the institution that God created. Amen. Amen, church?
Amen.
All right. Amen. So, I want to just kind of wrap up this point by just saying this, that it being a priority, that your relationship, that it's always priority. And I love my kids so much, but she comes before my kids. Always. And for some, if that's out of balance in your home, we need to have some conversation. And if you need help with that, then you need to reach out for help. Because here's what we know. We're going to share this in a moment. We can't do this all on our own. We need each other's help. And it takes work. It takes work. Because those kids are going to get 18. They're going to grow up one day. And who's left in the home? Yeah. And so we need to work on things now. I've heard people say it through the years. Well, we'll work on things when the kids get older. And typically, it's too late. And most never last there. So let's Jesus said this, John 14:15. He said, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you. So if you love me, and Jesus made it easy. He said, if you love me, man, you want to do it. You want to do it my way. You want to do marriage my way and relationships my way. If you love me, you'll, man, love each other. And I love that verse for us as spouses. If you love me, man, we're going to be in this together. We're allies. We're not enemies. Amen. We're on the same team. And so I want you to think about this. What are the most important priorities in your life? What do you think about this question? Because we is always better than me. All right? We say that. Say we.
We.
Is always better than me.
Is always better than me.
So what are the most important priorities to you? And we could probably rattle off some things and just say, oh, this is important. That's a priority. That's a priority. But then my follow-up question would be prove it. Prove it. And then if you can't really prove it and maybe you need to reprioritize, then you prioritize that thing and then you guard it and protect it and you value it all the days of your life. You know, it was one of the things when we were dating, she wrote things that she wanted and her man, I wrote things that I wanted in her. And I know it sounds old school, but I'm telling you, some of that old school stuff needs to come back because I'm telling you, I knew what I wanted and she met those things. And so it's important. Number two, here it is the principle of pursuit.
So Genesis 2:24 says, and a man shall leave and cleave to his wife. So we've heard it over the years that, well, I just don't love him or her anymore, or I guess we made a mistake when we got married. But what happened to your pursuit? That's what I would challenge you with. Are you actually pursuing your spouse like you used to? When you were dating, are you pursuing your spouse like you were when you were dating? The word cleave means to pursue with great energy and cling to something zealously. So I would challenge you and ask you to ask yourself, are you doing that? Are you zealously pursuing your spouse like you used to when you were dating or engaged? Marriage is only going to work when we choose to work at it. The grass isn't greener on the other side unless those people are actually using the water in their hose and actually watering the grass. So you can have a great, healthy marriage, but you have to work at it. You have to make sure that you're doing what you need to do to have a healthy marriage. You know, like Kyle had shared earlier, we're not perfect. We don't have it all together. We have had times in our marriage where we have been frustrated, where we are jaded and just don't feel like that there is a positive side to things. But we've never allowed divorce to be an option for us, and we will never allow that to be an option. The only option is that we get help if we need it, that we make sure that we reprioritize where we need to. And there was a year in our marriage, about year 7, that was a very difficult year for us. It was a year where we thought, we've got to change something. Like, things are not going well, and we don't really like it how it is right now. Like, we know that we've got to change things. So we had to make that conscious decision. But there were things that the Lord was dealing with us personally, individually, that we then had to be willing to go to each other and say, you know what, I've been screwing up in this area. I'm not doing well in this area, and be willing to take responsibility, because there is hope at the end of the tunnel, but you have to be willing to put in the work and make sure that you do what you have to do to work at a healthy marriage, to work at a healthy relationship.
Yeah, and the only way to get rid of a problem is to solve it, not ignore it, not divorce it. Amen. We've got to work at it. Year 7 was by far the toughest year that we ever went through. And it's different for different married couples, but all of us at some point are going to hit that time where it's just hard. And that was the time where, honestly, I thought, man, are we going to make it? Are we going to make it? Are we going to make it through this? And I know for me personally, months it went on. And I'm telling you, man, the Holy Spirit just got a hold of my heart and convicted me. And can I tell you some of the most powerful words, husbands and wives, that you can say to each other, and really just anybody can say, is words like, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I missed it. Say words like we, us, our, instead of me. All right, you get the point. And so I did. I went to her, and I was in tears. She was in tears. And I just said, babe, I just need to repent to you. And my focus has not been right. My schedule was so crazy, and she wasn't getting the time that she needed from me. And we, again, had Judah was our second at the time. And man, that was different, having the second child. I don't know what it was about the second, but Judah's awesome. But 3 was easier than 2. I don't know why it was, but it was a difference. I'll never forget, just made things right, but then got to work. It's one thing for you to repent and to get over it, but it's another thing for you to start putting some steps. You know, a little less conversation, a little more action. Who was it? Elvis said that, the great theologian. And so, and you got to get action to those steps and get moving. And so we both sought some help and counsel in our life to be able to help better us, because we just aren't that smart. And we just know, man, we need the help of God and the help of people. And I'm thankful for that. So we want to give you a couple of quick things just practically to this that I think is important in your pursuit. Because as we were working through this, we just really realized, man, there's probably some of us, if you're like us in this place, that you need that maybe renewal process. And we just kind of wanted to give you some steps. Revelation 2 says, you've forsaken the love you had at first. God was talking to the church here, but this is also a message for you and me, with him and with each other. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen. Repent and do the deeds you did at first. So jot this down. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen. Okay, how did this happen? How did I get here? We got to learn from it. We got to learn from it. Mistakes are only a failure when you don't learn from them. And so learn from it. And I think when we cool off in our relationship with God, it's because we quit working on our relationship with God. When our marriages cool off, it's because we quit working on it. We have to be intentional. And I think, again, you've got to get that word assumption out of your marriage. And guys, listen, I know this is hard for us, but I'm going to push on you. We've got to have more conversations. We've got to listen more. And it's something that I'm continually growing and learning, and she'll tell you that. But I'm just telling you, we've got to be intentional with that and being intentional in our conversations with one another. And because God's standard and foundation for love is a commitment to act in the other's best interest, regardless of how you feel. Like, we're on the same team. And I have tough days. She has tough days. And so regardless of our tough days, man, I'm not going to allow my feelings to override what she needs. I've got to learn how to continue to grow in that. And I can only do that by pressing into God, by coming together with friends and small groups. But if you live by your feelings, and many people do, and it's sad, but if you live by your feelings, your life will become a vicious cycle of pain and confusion. And it's going to be tough. So don't live by your feelings. Here's the second thing, and that's repent. We just got to make the decision in our hearts that we're going to repent. And that's part of what we did in that, and after that time for us. We had to acknowledge what was going on. That's what repentance, part of this is acknowledging, okay, this is what I did wrong. And that admitting it, I mean, no, it's big to admit, but it's important for your spouse to hear those words sometimes. Ladies and men, listen, it's important. And then turn from that. Repentance is turn away from that and don't repeat that process. Hebrews 12:15 says, a bitter spirit is not only bad in itself, but can also poison the lives of many others. That's a heavy scripture, isn't it? A bitter spirit is not only bad in itself, but can also poison the lives of many others. And so it's so important that we move forward in this. And then here's the last part, do the deeds you did at first. And so, in other words, it's investing in your relationship again. It's again, remembering that we is better than me, that my relationship is going to be a priority. My relationship is going to go to the next level of pursuit. One of the things that I love about where we're at is just that pursuit. And just our date times, like we love date nights. And see, we've heard this excuse too. So, well, man, we don't have date nights, we ain't got nobody to watch our kids. Well, get in a small group and you'll have some people to watch your kids. Just trying to throw that out there to help some people. And I usually have asked people, you know, that have said that to me. I said, are you in a small group? Well, no. I said, well, you ain't getting to know anybody. No wonder you got nobody to help watch your kids. You know, they got teenagers that can help watch your kids. Pay them. Let's go, you know. And it doesn't have to take a lot of money, I mean, to do things. I mean, a movie, restaurant, yeah. Or sometimes we've just went to the bookstore. We grabbed a cup of coffee, and that's a date night. You know, but it's just, and we try to do that at least every week or every other week. And for some of us, maybe it's been a while since you've had a date night. And maybe you haven't set that consistency. That's why there's separation in that and distance in our relationship.
Marriages don't end because one person's wrong. Marriages end because we disconnect. Somewhere along the way, we quit communicating. We quit having conversations. We quit doing what we need to do to meet each other's needs. We quit serving one another. That's what makes marriages end. That's what leads to a marriage that is unfulfilled, is because we don't do the things that we should do. We don't do, you know, like we did when we first met our, you know, now spouse, where, you know, you were getting your hair all cute and you were putting on that cute outfit because he thought that it was cute the last time you wore it. So you're going to wear it every time you see him now without being annoying because he said that he liked it. So you're going to wear whatever he thought was so cute or do your hair a certain way. And the same for him, that, you know, you've got to do things to remember why you married your spouse, to remind them why they married you. You know, that's something like for me that in my small group this last semester, we were talking, it was a group for married women. So we were talking about, you know, things that you need to do as a wife. And so I was telling the ladies kind of jokingly, but seriously, that I don't wear regular pants through the day. I'm at home with little kids. So I want to wear stretchy, comfy pants when the boys are at home. And then the moment that I know he's on his way home, I'm like, all right, let's get dressed. We got to put real clothes on because I want to look cute when he comes home. You know, I care about, I want him to look and see that his wife's beautiful when she comes in the door. And that doesn't mean he wouldn't love me either way, but I want to do things that are going to remind him of why we got married, remind him of, you know, that he looks at me and thinks that I'm beautiful. And so it seems silly and small, but it's important that you do those things that you used to do when you were dating. We have to.
Yeah. Here's the third thing. It's the principle of possession. Genesis 2:24 says, they shall become one flesh. So again, marriage is a complete union, which all things that were previously owned or managed separately are now owned and managed jointly. That's why I hate prenuptial agreements too. I just hate what it even stands for. Because I think how you even start the marriage signifies what you already believe about where you're going or not going. That's just my opinion, all right? That's just how I feel about it. And there's no exceptions. You're together in this journey. 2 Corinthians 7, the husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife. Likewise, the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. each area of our marriage that I'm telling you that we willingly surrender to joint ownership will build, hear me, a spirit of trust and intimacy in our relationships. And that's why sex can never and should never be used as a weapon or a bargaining chip with one another. And we're going to talk more on that next week, because I realize trust can be an issue, but that's not an excuse to begin to work on things. And there's the old adage, and it's just wrong. It's wrong thinking. It's wrong theology, that time heals all things. No, only the Holy Spirit can heal all things, everybody. We've got to submit our relationship to Him. Are you with me, church? And then Luke 14:33, in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything, he cannot be my disciple. Remember, we've talked so much that God doesn't mind if you got stuff as long as your stuff don't have you. And Jesus isn't requiring us to get rid of everything before we have a relationship, but he is saying that I want you to submit everything that you and I have to his authority, or we can't follow him. Jesus wants to be first. And so if there's something in your life today that maybe you won't submit to Jesus, and then, in other words, you're telling God that this thing is more important than you. That's really what you're saying. And so let's reprioritize our relationship with him. And as we get ready to close up with this last point here, my question is, are you completely surrendered to your spouse? What do you think about that? Are you completely surrendered to your spouse? And is there anything that you're holding back that you need to get honest about with each other? And here's the final thing, and that's the principle of purity.
So Genesis 2:25 says, "And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." So in the beginning, God intended for marriage to be a place of total nakedness. It was a place where nothing was without being seen by the other, that we were physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually fully open to the other. And that's how God wants it for us in marriage today, that in our marriages, that our spouse has a door that you are fully allowed to walk through,
yeah,
and vice versa, that there is no door that your spouse is not able to walk through, that they have a full, open, and honest relationship. And that's what Kyle and I value in our relationship and want for each and every one of you, if you don't have it, that God would help you to be fully open and honest, that nothing that your spouse tells you is going to make you not love them, that you're going to be a champion in those areas where they're struggling, where they're weak. Maybe it's an area of, just a struggle with purity, that you're going to be their champion. You're going to be the person that they can go to, that you are going to respond to them in a Christ-like way, that you're not going to condemn them or beat them over the head with the word of God, but that you're going to love them and you're going to be a champion for them in that area. And that's what Kyle and I want for each other, and that's what we want for all of you, that you have those open doors, that there's nothing in your life that your spouse does not have access to, whether that's your electronics, whether that's your thoughts, whether that's your emotions, whether that's things that have hurt you in the past, that you are fully open to your spouse in every area of your life. Because sin, if we allow sin to wreak havoc in our lives, then the enemy does have a foothold. If we don't keep our lives open to our spouse, the enemy's going to have a foothold. We're going to keep secrets, and secrets are not okay in marriage ever. There can never be any secrets.
Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads where we're at, if you would. And we just want to pray over you. And then if you don't know, man, the Lord, we want to give you an opportunity to know him today as well. But Father, I thank you for just this amazing opportunity, God. Each and every amazing person that's in this room today, you have a plan, you have a purpose. And God, we speak life today. We speak blessing, God, over every union, God, in Jesus' name. Every man and woman, God, we thank you for those desiring to want to be married as well. God, that you move in the hearts of every one of us. God, we need you. We need our focus to be on you and continue to be centered on your will and what you're wanting to do. And so, God, I just pray for us today. And I pray for every married couple that we give Satan no place in our lives. And I rebuke the enemy today. And we just declare, and Bethany and I today, we speak life over every marriage. We speak blessing over them again. And God, we speak that this is forever. This is forever. And we're going to build, and we're going to learn to get honest and get open and work on things and deal with them and not push them to the side And God, maybe even today we've noticed we've pushed some things under the rug, haven't dealt with them. But Holy Spirit, you are our greatest helper and friend. Would you just minister to us, encourage us, give us the grace that we need and the courage to make the changes that we need to, in Jesus' name.
Lord, I just speak over the marriages where trust has been broken. God, that you would bring reconciliation.
Yes, God.
That there would be repentance and forgiveness where needed, and that there would be new beginnings, that it would be a year of new beginnings for marriages that have been hurt and broken and where trust has been lost. We thank you, God, for working in each and every marriage that's in here, for those that are single and wanting to be married or maybe in relationships already. Lord, we just speak purity over them. We speak health over them, that they would make sure that they are whole and healthy and healed in every area of their life so that they can enter marriage whole, healthy, and healed and be the whole person that you want them to be, so that they can come together in unity and one flesh to be a healthy marriage, so that they don't have to struggle, so that they don't have to have years and years of strife in their marriage, but that they would enter healthy in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just speak over those that are hurting. Maybe they're in marriages that are broken, where that trust has been broken, or maybe things have happened where they're hurting. God, that you would use your word, use this message today to just bring some healing and begin a new work in them in Jesus' name.
And just as every head bowed, eyes closed, if you're here and you don't have a relationship with Christ, man, what an amazing step to take today. And just declaring Jesus the Lord of your life. Maybe you're even in marriage here together and Jesus hasn't been at the center. Maybe you've been trying to do this without him and it's becoming frustrating. Maybe you've been dating, whatever, and you realize, man, we need to get God's plan and God's purpose in our life. And on the count of three, if that's you, and you just say, man, I need a fresh start with God and a relationship with him, all over this room with every head bowed and all eyes closed. The count of three, if that's you, I just want you to boldly just put up your hand and then you can put it back down again. But come on, this is you and this is your moment. One, two, three. Come on, in this place, it says, man, that's me. Yeah, gotcha, gotcha. Praise God, gotcha. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen, amen, amen. Awesome, awesome. All right, now I'm just going to lead you in this prayer. And just say this and believe this in your heart. Open up your mouth and say this. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you today for making me brand new. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for your great grace. And Jesus, thank you for raising from the dead so that I can have life. Fill me with your spirit so that I'll serve you all the days of my life.